And so what did your father tell you, as daughters, when you were taken to visit the grandfather at that time, as you were a child?
Nothing. Normal. It was completely normal for us.
But even if the grandmother wasn't there?
Nonna lived, when I was a child, most of the time Nonna lived with your auntie. And for us, it was normal. Nonna lives with the eldest son.
Who was your grandfather living with? Was he alone or was he another woman?
We were never that. I was only told as an adult. And over 40, I think, you know, before I found that out, when we went to see him, he was living in a boarding house. It wasn't his house. It was a house where he had a room. It was, you know, if I think
like the young immigrants,
yes.
At the beginning, they were living in a boarding house. He was living in a boarding house even if he was an old, getting older.
That was towards the end of his life. And we used to, we would go to Mass on Sundays, and then after Mass, my father would take... Now, I showed you the picture of my two older sisters. Now, Stephanie was born in 1954.
Yeah.
I was born in 53. Silvana was born in
1952. Wait, 54. And you?
I'm 53.
53, and then?
And Silvana was born in 1952.
Wow.
So you'll see that my mother had three daughters.
One
quick.
Really quick.
Yes, there's I think 17 months between Silvana and me, but there's only 11 months between Stephanie and me. We have our birthday in September, both of us.
and then
there was a break, and then there's Carlo.
Mm-hmm.
I can work it out. Let's go through the names. Carlo, then there's Pietro, Anna Maria, and Luigi.
Okay, and the ears?
Now,
seven of you.
Seven children. Now, Carlo, I think, is 6 years younger. Isn't it shocking? I don't even know how old they are.
Well,
I think he's about 6 years younger than me. So
59.
Yeah, 59. And then... He was 2 years younger.
So 61.
Yeah, 61. Anna Maria and Luigi, 61. There was a little break. I think Luigi's just turned 41.
So 67. 67.
Could be 67. And then Anna Maria's 1 year older.
66.
But then, I'm not exactly sure, but once again, Shireen, I can put you right on the desk.
But this is not like fundamental. Really, just for me to have an idea of this really big family.
All right, but now you can see that it was the three. This is the way that it was with us.
Yeah.
You see, for the while, it was just us three.
Yeah, yeah.
So when we were going to visit, after Mass, the babies would be left with my mother or the baby or whatever, and then my father would take the three girls.
Okay, you told me about the Catholic education. I want to know something about the Italian heritage. Was your father, in a way, like, received Italian names.
Yes.
Also, Stephanie is Linda.
Yes, Linda, Stephanie.
So all of you have like a print. So what about, was he talking to you in Italian or just telling you well, you should learn Italian? Tell me about that.
My mother is South African. My mother apparently went to Italian school, but I have never heard her speak Italian.
Okay.
Okay. Now, it's the mother, it's called mother tongue because it is the language that the mother speaks to the baby. So, along with all the other children of the mixed marriages, you know, South African and Italian, we went to Dante Alighieri, Scuola Italiana.
As children?
Yes. It was on the other side of the city. It's only moved up there. It was on Saturday mornings. They still have the classes on Saturday mornings. And we used to go on Saturday mornings for classes.
All sons and daughters of Italian immigrants. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
But then there was a Father Capone who was I think he was a consolato father. He had been sent to Cape Town to study at the university. He was also a doctor. And his destination for the consolato fathers, for the missionaries, was Nairobi. He was going to go and work in Nairobi as a doctor. But he needed to finish his medical training. And he did that. He finished that at the University of Cape Town. And my father and Father Capone were very friendly. Now, Father Capone was a young priest and a man who had never had children. And he said to my father one day, because we had certain rules, at the table we were only allowed to speak Italian, no English at the table, only Italian.
This for?
That was when we were small.
Ah.
And Father Capone was with us
at your
lunch
house or?
At our house, yes, at home. So every night, it was only you only spoke Italian at the supper table, and then of course it was Sunday lunchtime. You had your big meal, and Father Capone was with us for Sunday lunch, and he heard, and he said to my father, "The children must become South African. You are going to confuse them if they have to deal with two languages." You see, he didn't know. So he said to my father, "You must choose. Your children must speak either Italian or they must speak English. And in this country, they have to speak English." So we stopped.
So that was your Father Capone that told this?
But because he was a priest, and still my father was a young man, to my father, the priest was the only educated man in the village very often, you know? And so he had that respect for what the priest said. And unfortunately, it wasn't correct, because some of my cousins not only are speaking English and Italian, but for Lang as well.
Yeah.
And they're not confused.
Yes.
And of course, they didn't know then that...
At that time, maybe that was the common thought about that, the approach, yeah? But nowadays, everybody knows that children can be raised with different languages. According to the environment, they can speak a language at home and another at school and another at sports field. So,
yes.
And they
yes.
maybe they can be a bit confused in the first years of their life, but
yes.
after the 10 years, they make everything...
Of course they will, yes. Yes.
Yeah.
In fact, my father speaks English, he speaks Afrikaans, he speaks Italian, speaks for Lang. He also speaks Xhosa.
Xhosa is a local...
Xhosa, yes.
It's a local
African language.
So what about all children? Was some of you at the end more attractive to the Italian heritage? And some, well, these things happen normally when
yes.
different attitudes, different personalities...
I would say that the ones who are sort of cherish the heritage, it would be me and it would be Anna Maria, my youngest sister.
Okay. In which way did you personally and your sister too maybe deal?
Anna Maria
did you feel like the need to learn the language or what? Or you go visiting the relatives, keeping contact with them more than the other do?
I went to the Italian school. I went to Italian school, but I have just had to stop. I would have been going to conversation classes. The fees have just got too much. I'm not working. I was retrenched 2 years ago. And as I get older, so it becomes more impossible. It's my skin and my age. So I probably won't, nobody will give me a job. I'm white and I'm 54. So they will see that as too old, because this is a country of young people. And there are, for every woman at 54 who wants a job, you can be sure that there are going to be 50 black young women who really need the job more than I do, they would say. So it's a matter of the country is trying to balance.
This is why a lot of young South Africans, white South Africans, are trying to find living in Europe and Australia, for what I heard. Yes?
Well, for me personally, there is no future for my son. That I know. There's no future here. He's a
youngest.
Yeah, my young white boy.
You're so pessimistic.
No, I'm realistic, because Basil, my husband, was one of the founder members of the UDF, the United Democratic Front, in this country, which was the organization that was established because the ANC, the African National Congress, was banned still in those days.
So you're talking about the 60s?
The 70s, 80s, 70s and 80s. Yeah, it's more the 80s really. While the ANC was banned, they only unbanned the ANC I think a year or two before they let Mandela out of prison. Basil was part of the UDF, and then when the ANC was unbanned or became legal, all of a sudden you could see where these people were. And Basil was the only white man in the regional executive in the Western Cape. But
why, since he had like really in a way important position, visible position, don't you think it could help you in a way, just to, they want you to explain it, because I don't understand.
Basil holds no political position anymore. Basil doesn't even belong to the ANC anymore. He became very, very disillusioned. It's maybe three or four, five times when you work hard and you're passed over for somebody else. Three or four, five times you can take it, but when it is all the time, and probably of all the people who were involved with the UDF and that beginning part of the ANC, we will, I'm guarantee, be the ones with the least money. We don't have any money at all. We live in a little house, he's not. But then the other part is that I always need to know that we can walk with our heads high. So that if there was anything that was happening under the table, I would say to Basil, you go away. Because first of all, it's wrong. Somebody will find out and you'll just be finished. You can't be an honest politician here.
Well, I can tell you, it's probably, this is a rule.
Same as Italy. Yeah, but you know, in Italy they at least they're open about it. Here it's all covered.
But it's recent, it's new, maybe, yeah?
Mm.
But it's not only Italy, I think.
No, it's everywhere.
I can say everywhere about politics is becoming something. Okay, no, but it was really interesting. So I was interested also the attitude that your father had toward your last husband. He told me that he accepted him even if he didn't want... Your mother told that.
Yes. Yeah. He's a very nice person, you see. He was a friend of my late husband. I had known him for 10 years before we started seeing each other, but we didn't like each other.
It's okay, we just started anymore.
We had known each other for a long time. I didn't like him, he didn't like me. But he was my husband's friend. And it was after Kenny died that he started coming to see if I was all right.
I don't know what's happening. You go on. What do you say? It's gone down. Never happened before.
And I was also pregnant, so there was not too much choice. But I wanted to get married in the church. I was a widow, and I told him I wanted to get married in the church. I also told him that the baby would have to be brought up a Catholic. And he said that was fine, and he started coming to Mass with us, and then he decided to join the church himself.
Recently?
Last Easter, so it's been a year and a half. So he's a very new Catholic. And I tease with my mother, I joke and I say, you know, he knows more than we do. But always, people who are new will always know. But yeah, so I don't have much really to tell. I work for Glafa Lung, I'm the secretary. Mm-hmm. I do enjoy that. And most of the socializing that Basil and I will do will be around Glafa Lung, the Italian club. I think that's where our community of friends.
How you define your relationship with this heritage, with the roots, that Lesbian, like your involvement, what value do you give to this whole thing of your heritage, of fueling the Italians?
For me, it's your blood. It's me. Mm-hmm. It's part of my life. And as a child growing up in this country, mm-hmm. I went to a convent school, but most of the children were South African. And people would look down on immigrants. They thought that we ate food that was funny. They didn't understand the food we ate. We did different things. And as a child, it was very difficult. You didn't know where your place was in the world. And only as a young adult that I understood that I had an enormous heritage from my father. And from my mother, it's very split up, because her grandparents came from England.
Uh-huh, okay.
So there are no, for me, I can't say in my bloodline that there are roots in this country. They don't go very deep. It's only two generations.
But you said something about feeling like a foreigner, an immigrant, but
yes.
You were still part of the elite, the white elite. So you were like... So I want you to tell me something about the whole question of apartheid, because I mean, I understand that your father and your mother were the really Catholics, the Catholic mm-hmm. Church was the more open on these issues, even going against the government laws. So how did your parents, and I mean your father above all, which is the one that Jesus for in this interview, dealt with this question?
My father worked in the townships for a lot of his life. For some part, he worked with Mr. Scott Lair. They were in the railways. They worked together. Then my father went to work for the department. It changed its name many times, but it was the Department of Blacks and
Whites. A public body, actually.
Yes. He went to work as a building superintendent in the townships. And he made friends with, you will always make friends with your workmates, but those workmates weren't white. I remember that once my father took my mother to see something in the township. In those days it was illegal for my mother to go to the township. My father was allowed because he was working there, but it was illegal for white people to go in the township. It was a stupid law. But my mother went with my father. And there were some small children, and they saw my father, and they came and they said, "Tata, Tata," and my mother said, "My God, but you can always see." She said they were not his children, but they were calling him father.
Yeah, because
in the Khoza tradition, I don't know very much about the other tribes in the country, but in the Khoza tradition, children respect those who are older. It's exactly the same as the Italian tradition. You respect people who are older and more important, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't call an older person by their first name. You will call them Sisi, sister, yes, a little boy. When a little boy called me grandmother one day, I realized you're getting old. But the traditions at the core of the family and the African tradition, the Italian tradition, are just the same, where you have the children needing to show respect for the parents and the parents looking after and taking in the children. So it could be the child from down the road. The mother isn't there, she's at work and they've fallen, and you will sort them out. He did teach us the respect, but then you see also things were changing in this country, and then we had an Archbishop Naidu, who was an Indian Archbishop and the leader of, after we had a Cardinal McCann, in Cape Town. When he died, the person who was appointed to take over the leadership of the church in Cape Town was an Indian man. And my father showed him just as much respect as he would show to any priest, as he was in fact the Archbishop. So those things helped. We didn't have contact though, huh? We had no contact with people with different color skins, because everybody was in a different society.
Yeah.
Yes.
So they didn't have the chance actually to